G'day, folks. Talk to Kevin Palmieri, the CFO of Next Level University. He's an entrepreneur and podcaster. We yarn about where he hit rock bottom, going through adversity, then rising up, exploring the digital space, helping himself, but most importantly, helping others. High tide raises all canoes, people. And if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe or follow button. And we've also got a Patreon page. The link is within the description. So if you want to roll with the squad and become a patron, that'd be great. I want to thank our sponsors, Permabil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here, and they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs. Oh,
yeah. Kevin Palmieri, and did I pronounce your last name right, brother?
Yes, you did. I appreciate it very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Jake. I'm excited to chat.
Boom. Spot on. Righto, got that. So, yeah, really appreciate you coming on board and having a yarn on the Keep Rolling podcast. You know, sharing a bit of the love there. And just want to know, whereabouts in the world are you?
I am on the East Coast of the United States. I live in New Hampshire, so we have a nice, I have my window open. It's a nice sunny day with a nice little breeze, and yeah, I live in the East Coast, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, that's a state, yeah?
Yes, yep.
Right, is that sort of, that's up around Massachusetts, New York-ish sort of?
Yep, it's, we're probably 20 minutes from Mass, and then like Maine is above us, Vermont's above us, and then I don't even know what's technically to the west, probably upper New York, yeah, northern New York.
Righto. So just being right near Massachusetts, so are you a bit of a Boston Celtics fan, like now they're in the playoffs or what?
So this is what I'll tell you, Jake. I am 5'4" on a good day. I never connected with basketball. That was never, I was a big baseball fan, and I'm a huge mixed martial arts fan because I used to do jujitsu and Muay Thai. Right. So I watched the big UFC card this weekend. I'm a big fighting fan more than anything else, honestly.
Beauty. That's good to hear because, you know, I do love my NBA, but okay. And just letting you know, like I'm, you know, probably a little bit shorter than you, mate. I'm probably a whole foot shorter. I'm probably 4'5", but you know, I'm rolling around in a wheelchair. But anyway, but same here too. Like I love combat sports and especially mixed martial arts and the different facets of it because you've just got so much going on when you got the different disciplines and just really the mental and physical components that go into that can benefit people, whether you're getting in a cage and you're going hell for leather or if you're just doing it for training, you know, and just what that can bring to individuals, so mentally and physically. So, beauty. Right. So, entrepreneurship. And I can see that you channel that sector. So, before you grab the reins of being an entrepreneur and going through life on that trajectory, where did it all start beforehand and who is Kevin and where is he originally from? Have you always been from the East Coast? And tell us a bit about yourself, my friend.
I have always been from the East Coast. I'm actually Massachusetts born and raised. So New Hampshire is not my original home. I actually grew up in Massachusetts. So the Bruins, Red Sox, Celtics, I very much understand. And they were always the teams I rooted for, even if I wasn't paying super close attention. But when all of my friends went off to college, Jake, after high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that college wasn't for me. And I that was pretty much where I was at. I wasn't certain of much. And all my friends were out partying and meeting people and having the time of their lives. And I was pumping gas at the local gas station. I was the gas station attendant in my town. And I stayed there for 3 or 4 years. And after that, I ended up becoming a personal trainer. I worked at a hospital cleaning floors and cleaning bathrooms. I was a truck driver. I was a forklift operator. I was many, many different things. And I eventually got this opportunity to work in the construction industry. And that changed my life in many ways.
Nice.
I didn't hate it. I didn't really love it, but I made money. And I made good money, which I really, really enjoyed. I enjoyed the money. So I think I started working there when I was in my early 20s, maybe 23.
So what did you do in the what did you do in the construction industry? Like what kind of trade did you get into, or if it was project management, what was the background there?
So the best way, it wasn't actual construction, it was weatherization. And usually people don't know what weatherization is. So weatherization is making buildings more energy efficient. So we would go into to government buildings or state buildings. We worked in a lot of schools. And sometimes we would build like thermal floors in the attic, or we would do weather stripping around the doors, or we would do a lot of custom work like that. It was called retrofitting is what we did. We retrofitted buildings to make them more energy efficient.
Yeah, that's super important. Oh, here we go. Uh-oh.
Jake has left the building.
Here. Oh, where are we? We're back. Sorry.
There we are.
I've got this new I've got this new toy that I've been playing with to do with podcasting. But anyway, if you can see on camera, I've got no hand dexterity. So sometimes they just want to do what they want and I start pressing buttons.
No worries.
But anyway, what I was going to say, it's super important over here as well, like when it's got to do with buildings and Green Star ratings and when it's got to do with thermal properties, because we do a lot of that work over here. And especially when you're looking at trying to make, whether it's residential homes, commercial properties, energy efficient and bringing up that Green Star rating, that's what, you know, really helps, you know, the environment essentially. And just, you know, because you're seeing the whole push around the country for keeping everything mean, lean and green. So that's super important.
Yeah. And it was nice, Jake, because I worked for the government technically, or states, depending on where we were working. And I got paid really, really well because I was getting paid state rate. It's called prevailing wage. In order to get a state job, you have to pay your workers all the same amount of money. And in order to make the bidding fair, they decide the rate. So maybe it's $50 an hour, $75, $100 an hour. You have to pay everybody on your crew that amount of money. So the bids are competitive.
Really? So were you essentially sort of like a public servant in a way?
Not really. No, it wasn't that serious. It was just more of like the contract side of things was with the government. So
yeah, okay.
You had to match the pricing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just wanted to double check because it works differently in different states or different countries, you know?
Yeah. No, it was an interesting thing too, because I went from making like $12 an hour or $13 an hour as somebody who grew up pretty broke. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money when I grew up. So I assumed that money was going to buy me happiness. I mean, I went from making $12 an hour to making, I think, $50 an hour on the first job site I worked on. So I 4X'd my income overnight, which was just weird.
Big jump.
Very strange. Big jump. But, you know, if you fast forward till, I think I started when I was like 23. If you fast forward to when I was 25, from all outside standards, I had the life of my dreams. I had the life that anybody could want. I had a sports car. My girlfriend was a model. I was in really good shape because I had just done a bodybuilding show. I was making good money. I had a new apartment. Everything seemed like it was awesome. But it was one of those things of, I thought my external results would bring me internal happiness and confidence. And it didn't. It didn't at all. And my girlfriend came to me one day and said, Kev, I want to move across the country. We should go live in California. And I said, here's a list of reasons why that's not going to work. I don't want to do that. You shouldn't either because you're going to fail and all of this stuff. And she ended up leaving me. So she left. She moved across the country.
Right.
And that was the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world. She should have done it. I'm glad she did. Her and I are on good terms. We've talked about it. And that was the best thing.
And was she from over there or she was always from the East Coast?
East Coast.
Right.
Yeah, she was East Coast. But she always had wanted to live in California. That was her dream. That was her dream. And I tried to stop her from chasing her dream. And then she left and she ended up going and living in California, which again, I'm very happy she did. But when she left, Jake, I had to look in the mirror and say, I'm not really that confident. I'm super insecure, right? I don't really like who I am as a man. And that's when I started self-improvement.
But why was that? So was it like you're looking in the mirror and what are you saying to yourself? Because like when she left or you sort of coming down on yourself, what were all the reasons why? Like you're looking at self-improvement, but because that would have been a bit of a hard hit at the time. You got your girl that's, you think you've got everything in the world that you need, sports cars, this, that, and good job, you got your girl, but then she's like, I'm out of here, which emotionally that takes, would have took a pretty big toll. But so you would have hit rock bottom pretty hard, yeah? So what was the thoughts going on in your head?
I think the first one was, I can't believe I thought this relationship was going to fix everything. Because I think part of me assumed that if I had a beautiful girlfriend and I had a good job, my life would just like be really, really good. I think I assumed that all of the external stuff mattered more than it really did. And I just think it was one of those moments of overwhelming clarity of like, I've been living a lie for the last couple of years and now it's boom, everything is the truth. Mm-hmm. And my bills doubled overnight. Right. So that really sucked because work was kind of slow. And I went from paying, you know, half of the rent to paying $3,000 a month for all of my bills, which I couldn't afford at the time. So that was difficult. And anytime somebody leaves you, it's like, am I broken? Am I not a good partner? Am I worthy?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was looking at. Yeah. It's like, because you start blaming yourself and you're looking for the reasons why. Why is this happening? What am I doing? What sort of person I am? And then that's when it can bring in that self-reflection, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And then for me, it was like, I tried to take ownership. And again, you know, if you've never been in a situation, it's difficult to do. But I tried to take ownership as quick as possible and say, okay, and I think a lot of people jump here. My ex is not crazy. She wasn't a terrible person. She wanted to do something and I was trying to hold her back and she did the right thing. And I think I got there pretty quickly, which is good because you cannot fix a problem that you do not take responsibility for. If I'm blaming somebody else for certain things going on, then I cannot give myself the opportunity to solve those problems. And that's when I started getting into self-improvement because I felt like for most of my life, I had tried to use external results to bring me internal happiness. And I figured out, you know what, that didn't work. Now, here's the problem, Jake. Every night before I went to bed, I would say that I'm talented, I'm worthy, I'm handsome, I'm intelligent. But this is what I said. This last one really came back to bite me in the butt. This year, I'm going to make the most money I've ever made in my entire life. Because I think I assumed that I'm working on myself and I'm meditating and I'm looking at the inner stuff. Now, if I make more money, that'll really be the glue that holds all this the rest of this self-improvement stuff together. And I ended up getting a promotion. So I became a foreman of that weatherization company. And that year, we were on the road for 10 months out of the 12 months. Jeez. And every single week, I was living in hotels and I was driving 7 hours to the job site. And I wasn't sleeping. I was staying up for days on end because that's what it took to get home on time and all that stuff. And it was a grind. It was very difficult, but I enjoyed it because I was making good money. And we got to the end of the year and I was standing at my kitchen table because my ex-girlfriend took the chairs. They were her chairs, so she took them. And I was never home, so I never bought new ones. It didn't make any sense. And I opened my final pay stub of the year and I made $100,000 at 26 and I didn't have a college degree and I was playing far beyond what I ever thought was possible.
Nice.
But nothing changed.
Especially if you're going nothing for changed. Pumping gas and then now all of a sudden
pretty good.
Got 100K, you know, that you're earning, which is great, you know, and when you're looking at 100K US, that's great.
Yeah. But nothing, it was the same thing of, oh, I did it again. Nothing changed. I'm still kind of insecure. I'm still pretending to be somebody I'm not. I'm not super confident. I'm not a lot of the things that people think I am.
But what did the travel take on you? You know, because when you're living out of a suitcase, how did that affect you?
It was very difficult because I couldn't really prioritize relationships. I had a lot of like friends with benefits at that time because I could not commit to a serious relationship. So I was not willing to put myself out there. It was very hard from the perspective of fitness. I kept up with fitness, but it's really challenging to work out in a different gym every week. That was very challenging. I ate a lot of fast food, way more than I ever wanted to, for sure.
Yeah,
I was probably averaging 5 hours of sleep a night for years, which definitely took a toll on my mental capacity. Now I've been able to reverse a lot of that because I focus now on sleep and I try to get as much sleep as possible. But it took a lot of, I always say it took pieces of me that I'll never really get back.
Mm.
But it also created a lot of opportunities. Like my ability to sit in a room and work for long periods of time and just grind it out, a lot of that came from having to drive 7 hours to the job site and then work 8 hours and then go to the gym after. You know, like that kind of work ethic that I learned there really has helped me.
100%.
Leadership that I learned there.
Yeah,
right?
I'm on board with that because my background's in construction. And, you know, because I'm before I was, you know, wheelchair, you know, I'm a carpenter builder by trade, but I've just what you do learn and the grind. And when it comes to, you know, construction itself and the camaraderie of your workmates around you and they're all in it together and, you know, and really the end result that you get to when you're putting in the hard work and, you know, if it's something that you can stand back and see, it's like, you know, what you've built or when you're looking at what you've done with the thermal properties and how you make something more energy efficient and which means a lot, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I think as much as I'd like to say I was proud of what we did, I think I cared way more about the money, really. You know, I've always been pretty money driven and not in a bad way. Like I just value money because it's something I never had growing up. So I don't think I took pride as much in the effort as I did the result of the paycheck. And I just want to be transparent because I think, you know,
100%. Yeah.
I think it's important.
It is important. And it, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having that drive and where it's putting more dollars in your back pocket because that can ever create opportunity, you know, for yourself or with what you're doing for others, you know?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, so this is what happens, right? You know, maybe you've heard this quote, Jake, if not, maybe this will be the first time, but they say that money buys happiness and everybody wants to find out for themselves, even though other people have said, well, it doesn't really. I think everybody wants to find out for themselves. And I remember that day when I opened that final pay stub, I thought to myself, okay, nothing changed. I still feel exactly the way I felt before. I want to do something different. Like I really want to learn this lesson this time because I think I've missed it the first two and it's probably about time that I figure this out. So I realized that for most of my life, I had been living unconsciously, just kind of doing what felt normal, just kind of showing up and just doing it. And I said, what's the opposite of unconscious? And I said, it's hyperconscious. The opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious. And then shortly thereafter, I started a podcast called the Hyperconscious Podcast.
And can you explain that, hyperconsciousness?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the definition in the dictionary is acute awareness. Being aware of everything, questioning everything. Why did I say that the way I said it? Why did I think about it the way I thought about it before I said it the way I said it? Hyperconsciousness is not taking anything at face value. It's digging into why things are the way they are. Mm. Because when you change the way you think, you change the way you act, and then you change the way you live ultimately. And that became kind of an obsession for me for the future.
And was that, so going back to before we jump into the podcast, which is great, but when you're looking at, okay, construction, so was it, and you're talking about you felt like a drone, day-to-day grind, same thing. Good money, yeah, but, you know, traveling and everything else going on. So was that sort of you on the road and then it's like, righto, hyper-consciousness and I've got to look at a different avenue of life? And where did that lead to? Because I want to talk about where you've got construction, yeah, but then you've got next-level university. So talk to us about the gradual steps of hyperconsciousness when you're in construction and how you found it and where and when.
Yeah. So it's interesting, Jake, because it was very gradual, but it was also very sudden. And when I say almost overnight, I shifted my priorities. I'm not kidding. When I opened that final pay stub, for me, everything changed because I realized I didn't want to do what I was doing anymore. And when I started the podcast, I started just talking to people as a passion project. So I remember I had people at my house. I had two microphones. There was no camera. There was no studio. I was just trying to figure it out. And I was just having deep conversations with people that I thought mattered. And then come Sunday night, I'd go hop in my car, I'd drive down to the office, I'd get in my work van, and I'd drive 6 hours to wherever I was going. And then I kind of forgot about the podcast until Friday came around and I got home again. But I started, and this is what happened, Jake. I started calling out of work because I didn't want to do it anymore. I would leave the job site early, and the people I worked with would get mad at me because if you leave 4 hours early and you're making $100 an hour, you're losing $400, and that gets old pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I wasn't the favorite person. I would show up late sometimes because I just didn't care. And it got to the point where I would have to be 6 hours away at the job site on a Monday morning, and I would literally sleep in my bed from like 10 p.m. until 1 midnight. And I get up and I would drive 6 hours straight to the job site because I could not do another night in a hotel. I just needed some normalcy in my life. So it was gradual, but it was very sudden too in terms of the way my intentions changed. I knew I didn't want to do it and it wasn't sustainable anymore. It just wasn't sustainable for me. And what happened was
You know, you're going, you know, if you're looking at an 8 hour a day job or whatever it may be, eight hour plus, and you're bloody putting 4 to 6 hours driving time on top of that back and forth, no thanks.
Yeah. All right. No, it's brutal. It's brutal. Yeah. And what really shifted for me, and again, it was gradual yet sudden, I woke up one morning. It was probably like 5:15. My alarm clock went off. It was cold. I was in a hotel room, a crusty hotel room in New Jersey. And my alarm went off. I woke up, I slid to the edge of the bed, and I was lacing up my work boots, getting ready for the day. And the best way to explain it, Jake, is there was 10 TVs on in my head, and every single one was on a different station. And one was saying, Kev, you're stuck here forever, even though you want to leave. You'll never be able to find a job like this again. What will your friends think? What will your family think? And the loudest one was, do you really think you can be a successful podcaster? And in that moment, Jake, and this is the rock bottom basement, I genuinely felt like if I ended my life, I would take my problems with me. And
so you started having suicide ideations.
Yes. Yeah. That wasn't the first time either. That was probably like the third time. It was the first time that was directly correlated with my job, but it was like the third time in my life where I had those thoughts, which was very scary at the time. And I messaged my business partner, Alan. And I said, hey, I'm going through a lot of stuff here. And Alan has been a mentor to me since the very beginning. And I said, I don't know what to do. I'm having these thoughts. I'm having these feelings. I'm like confused. And he said, well, so much has changed over the last couple of years for you, Kev, but your environment hasn't changed that much. Mm. I think it's time for you to change your environment. And I ended up thinking about that. And I ended up leaving that job 3, 4, 5 months later and then starting full time as an entrepreneur. And then obviously, when you start a business, you start anything new, it's starting over. And that was very, very challenging. But that suicidal ideation, that moment on the bed, that was like the big pivot that said, hey, you can't do this anymore. And there's something out there for you that's bigger than this or different than this or in a different avenue. And that has been the inspiration to keep going 960 something episodes of however many episodes we have, 970, something like that. A lot of episodes.
Jeez, that's heaps.
it's a lot.
Entrepreneurship, so the podcast.
Mm.
So it seems like, yeah, the podcast came first before Next Level University. Yeah,
so the podcast, Alan and I were, it was the Hyper Conscious Podcast, and I was doing it myself. Then when we were like 20 episodes in and I left my job, Alan came on and we partnered up. And it was still the Hyperconscious Podcast. And one of our mentors, Evan Carmichael, at one point said, hey, you guys are great interviewers, but I don't remember the name of your show. You need to change the name of your show. And we ended up rebranding to Next Level University. So that started 5 years ago last month as Hyperconscious Podcast, and now it's Next Level University.
Okay, so talk to us about Next Level University, because you've got, so is Alan your current business partner with Next Level University and the podcasting?
Yep. He is my business partner. Again, mentored me for however many years I've been doing this. And he's also the co-host of the show as well. So Alan and I both grew up without fathers. My father left when I was young. Alan's father passed away when he was two in a car accident. And we believe that if there was more self-improvement in the world would just be a better place. So our thing is heart-driven. I love everybody and I want to help everybody. No BS. I want to give it to you like it is. I want to tell you really what it means to succeed and what you need to do. Heart-driven, but no BS, holistic self-improvement for dream chasers. We want to be the guys you come to when you want to get to the next level of your life, whether it's health, wealth, life, or love. And it's something that we are passionate about. We do 7 episodes a week because no matter where you are in the world, or that's a lot, there's always a next level for you. And every day is an opportunity for growth, and we want to be there to help you grow. And we're very, 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 very passionate about it. And that has become the biggest part of our overall business now, which I'm very grateful for.
Sounds like it. And he's gone through, from what you've just said, adversity himself. So where he can sort of internalize certain mechanisms, and where that's going to sort of come bursting out, especially with the rate of podcasting and other works that you're doing. So university, who's the dean?
I would have to say Alan would be probably the dean. I don't know what I would be, but yeah, Alan would probably be the dean. If you really think about it, most of us stop learning when we leave school, you know, and it's like we don't get results we want in life and we wonder why. And I think for a lot of us, it's because we've stopped learning about how to actually get those results. So our thought was, what if our podcast was like a school where you could learn something new every day? So we'll say Dean Allen. I don't know what I am yet, but maybe they'll find a position for me eventually.
Oh, you'll slot in somewhere. Dean Allen will look after you, mate. So
I hope so.
So within the university, so you do coaching, yeah? So it seems that, and what's the type of coaching? Are you doing it through, if you're looking at the physical and the digital realm, say whether it's through podcasting, or is it, you know, standing in a class full of people, or if you got, you know, clients, pupils, whatever you want to call them, and is it, like, what is it? Explain to us your type of coaching that you do through Next Level University.
Yeah, so we have so many different things now. The business has grown a lot over the last couple of years, but we have an approach where, and I don't think a lot of businesses have this, particularly in the coaching industry. If you don't have enough money to pay for our coaching, we have a free course. Totally free. It's valuable. It's an hour and a half, 4K footage of Alan and I in the studio. If you say, you know what, I have a little bit of money that I want to invest in coaching, we have group coaching. We have one-on-one coaching. We have podcast coaching. So our one-on-one coaching is peak performance and fulfillment and success. So how do you accomplish more and get to the next level of your life? That's really what that is. Mm. The podcast coaching is for podcasters who want to help grow, scale, and monetize their podcasts. And then we also have other services where we do like social media. We have a web division. So our business is very big and it has grown a lot, but our coaching is focused on holistic happiness, joy, fulfillment, and success.
It's multifaceted, that's for sure. So you're traveling around the country and doing a bit of this coaching, yeah? Like it's sitting in with individuals, or is it?
Most of it's virtual.
Most of it's
virtual. Yeah. I mean, we do a live event every 6 months. So we just had an event in March that we did. We had a live event. But most of it's virtual because our calendars are pretty challenging. So there's not a lot of time for travel. So we're trying to optimize as much as we can for, hey, here's a virtual interview, virtual coaching session, virtual speech.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because you can lose a lot of time in travel. So, and if you're going to get the same message across, and if it's going to be just as effective, whether it's through like a space like this in the digital realm, you know, that's where you're going to, you know, have more time for more people. So, but what does it mean to you to be able to deliver what you do to individuals in the community?
I think that for me, it makes me feel like I'm being the person that I needed. That's really the through line of my goal. Is I remember I would look at people and say, I could never be that. I could never do that because insert reason or fear or limiting belief. Being able to serve the community helps me be that person for other people and say, look, this is my story. I mean, and this is what I've been through, and I don't want to compare what we've been through, but your adversity can become your advantage. I mean, the challenges that you have faced can become the building blocks of you leaning into your greatness. So it's awesome because I get to help people for a living. And I remember early on when that was quite literally a dream, Jake. Episode 7 was called Chase Your Effing Dreams. That was the title that I named it. And
come on, mate, you can say fucking, it's all good.
Well, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I literally said that my goal was to wake up when I want, to podcast, to go to sleep when I want, to go to the gym when I want, to be my own boss. And that has become my reality. And I don't ever want to forget what it was like to be so unhappy, you know? And I don't ever want to forget what it was like to start being my own boss and start growing a business. I don't want to lose sight of that. I don't want the law of familiarity to creep in and realize or forget how lucky I am to be where I am. So I think that's part of it, is I just want to help people. I just want to help people authentically, you know, even if there's nothing in it for me, I just want to be a good person. And that's what it means to me.
That's it, brother. Just being your authentic self. And that's what matters, because a lot of people, you know, can cut through the bullshit. So if they're seeing you some sort of shyster, you know, they're like, want me refund? No, but you know, you're doing what you're doing and it's working, and that's the main thing. And you just being you, that's what's really important. So the main pillars, like if you had a set few and how you draw upon them, what are they?
In terms of self-improvement?
Yeah, and how that can reflect, obviously, for yourself and putting that out in the work that you do.
Yeah, I think we talk about the 5 C's pretty often. When Alan and I were thinking about what would help people the most, we said it's probably the fundamentals, but how can we deliver the fundamentals a little bit differently? Mm-hmm. So clarity. And really think about these, because it's kind of it's a circular approach to your life. If you don't know where you are or where you want to go, you don't know if you're making progress, you don't know how to measure progress, and you don't know if you're going backwards. I would say clarity might be the most important thing, especially in terms of starting something. So you have clarity. After clarity, you have confidence. You need to believe in yourself enough to actually start taking action. And I think that lack of belief is probably one of the biggest issues in the world, because many of us don't believe in our own opportunities or our own capabilities to get to where we want to go. So I think confidence was something I always struggled with. So I always resonate with trying to help other people with that. After confidence, you have to ask yourself, how committed am I really? How committed am I really to getting my goals? If you think of the difference between a relationship and a committed relationship, in a committed relationship, you're focused on improvement. You're focused on taking feedback so you can be a better partner. A relationship and a committed relationship are two different things. The fourth thing is consistency. And this might be the most important thing when you get started. We realize that a lot of people start things, but not everybody has the discipline or the accountability to be consistent long enough. Anybody can start a podcast. It's easy. It's the easiest it's ever been. But most people don't make it past episode 20 or episode 50 or episode 100, because it's very hard to show up every day. So we talk a lot about consistency and how if you build an accountability, you'll be way more successful. And then the last one, Jake, is community. The people in your life, are they the best from your past, or are they the best for your future? Do you have the people that you have in your life because they're going to help you accomplish your goals, or because you went to high school together, you went to college together, and you've been friends for X amount of years? What purpose do they actually serve in terms of the greater good of your life and your success? So those are the 5 things I would say that matter most and are kind of the pillars that we've built our lives and relationships on.
I'm glad I asked you that, because that was really good putting that across.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I was ready.
Ready and willing, yeah, because that's super important, always. You know, 100%. So
yeah,
you're looking at podcasting. Well, I love it. And, you know, I try and get out. I try and push them out fortnightly as much as I can. But, you know, I've got a, I run a business and own and run a business. And I, you know, it's in the disability sector, and I look after other people that got disabilities like myself, and not just physical, but when it's got to do with intellectual, cognitive, psychosocial, and, you know, and then that's what I do there with Culture Connects, my business. But then, you know, I really love and enjoy podcasting and just the power of it. And I love just, you know, meeting people like yourself and generally having a chat, having a yarn, and because I like knowing all sorts of things about life and, you know, whether it's self-improvement for myself or being able to, you know, put that out there for others and just a message that it can bring and what it can do and achieve. And yeah. So love it, mate. But podcasting itself, so because there's a lot of great podcasters out there. So who, you know, who inspires you, whether it was back then when you started or still today, like, you know, when you throw on your headphones or earbuds and, you know, whose voice is in your ears?
That is a great question. I think it's pretty common where it started. Joe Rogan was one of my beginnings.
Boom, right? It was like, 100%.
Imagine if you could do that. Imagine if you could just hang out and talk all day. That'd be awesome. So it definitely started with Joe Rogan for me. But believe it or not, Jake, I don't really listen to any other podcasts anymore because I listen to ours. So I try to listen to our episodes every day just to see where I can improve. And when I'm learning stuff, I'm really learning from, I'm going to like the old classics. Like I listen to a lot of Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins. That's kind of like, I kind of stay there. I don't really do a lot of new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't like listen to any other sort of podcast at all, really. So it's just looking at these entrepreneurs that have come through and what they've done and developed and sort of how you can draw upon that to keep pushing and doing what you're doing for improvement. Yeah.
And it's not that I don't like other podcasters. I just think for me, it's like at the end of the day, a lot of what really works is the fundamentals. And you can learn a lot from podcasts, but usually it's just a taste. A lot of people just give you like a taste because you can only say so much at the top of your business where people are going to understand it. So I try to find the stuff that's like really behind the scenes of, you know, I'm the CFO of our company. So I'm trying to learn about, I'm going watching math courses of like, okay, how can I learn math better so I can help us make more money and save more money?
Balance of financials.
So that's what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm digging more into like the business, money, finance, expense, margin percentages more than overall personal development right now.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting for yourself and just trying to balance that and how you can really push and improve, because obviously the bigger that you grow, it's going to benefit more people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of what I need to learn as a business owner, I didn't know naturally. You know, Alan went to school for business. He has a master's in business, but I didn't have that. So for me, I'm just trying to play catch up of like, well, what do I need to learn in order to be the best business owner in order to make more money to serve more people. So I'm really diving into business now, which is weird because I never would have said that 5 years ago. I never would have thought that was going to happen.
And how do you learn on that part? Because it's pretty serious. And when it's got to do with the money mechanisms of being a CFO and how do you gain that information and learn for yourself to make sure that, you know, your business is, you know, on the the trajectory going upwards?
Yeah. One thing I did, and this was something I didn't know was out there. I Googled something about like math classes, and there's free college classes on YouTube from MIT and a bunch of classes. So I started watching college classes on YouTube, which was interesting. And then I just asked people for book recommendations. I ask Alan all the time for book recommendations. I Googled best books for CFOs. I Googled best books for financial literacy. So that's really what I mean, I live on Google and YouTube, but it's usually like videos that aren't super popular because they're pretty deep in terms of the learning curve. So, but that's what I do. I just Google it. Like, what are the best books for CFOs? Okay, let me see.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn off YouTube. Like just the amount of stuff that I've learned in general, like on YouTube to do with different, especially when it's got to do with software and hardware to do with PC, because I get into videography and obviously to do with this podcasting and just how to best just bear with me 2 seconds.
No worries, my friend.
Someone just tried calling me. Anyway, should have shut my
Bluetooth. Tough to be popular.
Oh, should have shut my Bluetooth off anyway from my phone.
No worries.
But yeah, so yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. So when it's got to do with when you're looking at podcasting, like going back to podcasting, which is, you know, super important to your business and what it can achieve. But when it, like, I'm looking at you now and it looks great. I'm looking at some of that acoustic paneling and whatnot in your background, which is awesome. And aesthetically, it looks good. But talk to us a bit about the gear that you use.
Yeah, we're pretty simple. So this is a new mic. It's like a Audio Technica. I don't even know the name of it. But this is what we use for the first, like, 600 or 700 episodes. It's just an easy USB microphone that you can plug and play. Very simple. I think that, honestly, Jake, I think people overcomplicate the equipment and they under-focus on the content. You know, the best mic in the world cannot help you if your content, your speaking capabilities, and your ability to know your audience aren't there. That is one of the biggest things that I know people are missing. You got to know your audience. So, but equipment-wise, we use Audio-Technica headphones, Audio-Technica microphones, and then we record all of our episodes in StreamYard, which is very similar to Riverside. Audio, video goes on YouTube, goes out to the podcast platforms. But our equipment is very simple, and it's remained pretty simple since the very beginning. We've been focused more on delivery than anything else. I think that's what sets people apart. Now, obviously, it has to sound good. It can't sound like garbage, but you can do that with a $95 microphone just as much as a $400 microphone.
Yeah, there's a bit of a balance there. Hey, like, especially like, you do need that good crisp audio. But yes, it's, you got to make sure you can have the best gear in the world, but it's, you know, having all the gear and no idea. So you got to be able to harness it. But like you said, it's looking at your audience and really feeding into that, but, you know, having a clear, concise message and really knowing your audience. So what goes into a successful podcast? I know you do your course and you don't have to give away too much juice, but what goes into a successful podcast, like whether it's got to do with, you know, when you're talking about audience monetization, like all of the above, if you can just throw some of that into the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one thing, and it doesn't get talked about often, it's building relationships, real relationships with real human beings. So we're on pace to do like $500,000 in revenue, and I'm grateful for that. And that's awesome. But so much of that
Congrats.
Is because I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So much of that, Jake, is because when somebody follows me, I send them a video and just say, hey, Jake, thanks for the follow. I appreciate it. You know, please let me know if there's anything I can do to help. I'm not saying please let me know to say, please let me know. I really, please reach out if I can do anything. I want to help. And what that does is it builds a real relationship. Nobody else is doing that because it's a giant pain in the ass. I mean, honestly, it's a pain to send a video every time you get a follower, but I enjoy doing it because I know it's making a difference. So the through line of what I tell everybody is you have to build relationships with people. So many people think that they're going to start a podcast and it's going to blow up and they're going to have people reaching out to them, offering them money. It's not going to work like that for most people. It just isn't. That's more the minority of podcasters than it is the majority. So number one, you have to treat your podcast like it's a business and you have to talk to your customers. I would say number two, you have to probably take it more seriously than you are. If you miss episodes, you're going to lose. And again, this is heart-driven, but no BS. If you miss your episodes, you're going to lose because your listeners are going to go find another show who doesn't miss, even if they're not as good as you. And that's the part of it. And I think you have to treat your podcast as a business from the perspective of you have to take it seriously. You have to prep for your shows. You can't just show up and wing it. You have to have some sort of monetization idea, at least, especially in the beginning. Like, how am I going to monetize? Is it through coaching? Is it through ads? Understanding that from the beginning is super helpful. And then asking yourself this, what problem am I solving for what purpose, for what person in what way? So what is the problem my podcast solves? Who does it help? And through what mechanism? And I think those are a couple of simple ones. Obviously, posting on social media consistently is an important part. Going on other shows is an important part. But more than anything, it's consistency. I mean, if you do it 900 times and you focus on improving it a little bit every single time, you're going to be pretty successful. You know, even if it's not a millionaire, or a million listens or whatever it is, it really is small improvements over long periods of time that adds up to the biggest levels of growth.
100%. And how does one, like when it looks like monetization of a podcast, how does that come about? So whether it's people reaching out or if you're looking for an avenue, how does that come about?
So it depends on the genre. It depends on what you're doing. We tend to talk to a lot of self-improvement podcasts, and self-improvement usually leads to one-on-one coaching. So you can do coaching, you can do online courses, you can do merchandise, you can do ads, you can do affiliate marketing. Those are really the main like five. If you're a coach, I always say this, start coaching for free. So if somebody shares your podcast on social media, reach out to them directly, send them an audio or a video and say, "Hey, Jake, thanks so much for being part of this community. I appreciate it so very much. I appreciate you sharing us with the people that you care about. I'm actually thinking of running this beta testing for group coaching or one-on-one coaching. I'd love to offer it to you. It's totally free. You and I will jump on the phone every other week, and my only goal is to add value to your life." And you start by doing it for free. And you get somebody to work with you and you add value and eventually you start charging. And, you know, we went from charging $0 to charging $50 a week to $100 to $150. And it all started with us doing it for free. So I always think coaching is the best bang for your buck because you're going to make the most amount of money in the least amount of time. And you're going to have the biggest impact in the least amount of time. And I've just seen a lot of really good results from people who coach. If you want to do ads or sponsorships, it just requires a lot more listens. What I always suggest for people is if you say you live in a small town or you live in a mid-sized town, go to a local company or a local business or whatever it is and just say, "Hey, I'm Kevin. I have this podcast. We're getting X amount of downloads per month and we're looking for somebody who is aligned in the community to advertise on our podcast. We're looking for blank amount per episode. Is that something you might be interested in that's in the marketing budget?" And you just start there. It's not going to be Spotify. It's not going to be, you know, Google. It might be John's Tire Barn, but that's okay. If John's Tire Barn's willing to throw you $100 a week, that's $400 a month. And that's might be enough to cover your expenses. And then you can focus on getting more downloads and bringing that number up. But it's going to be small wherever it is in the beginning. I think one-on-one coaching is the way to go, especially if you're in a self-improvement entrepreneurial space. Anything else, you can have merchandise, you can have affiliate marketing. You know, if you're a podcast about telescopes, make sure you have a website who has affiliates connected to Amazon and send people there. You know, there's a bunch of different ways. It all depends on what you're doing, but understand it's going to start small and it's going to be very, very little in the beginning. We didn't make any money for the first year and a half, I think, 2 years. So expect in the beginning for it to be the hardest.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about the grind and, you know, and then you're saying you're doing it for free and you can see what can, if, you know, your perseverance does pay off. So yeah. Perseverance, and when talking about guests, and talking about mixed martial arts, stand by, this guy.
Ah,
Ken Flo. Talk to me about this guy, man. You know, when I saw you talking to Kenny Florian, I was like, man, like he's right into MMA, and it's good that you were able to get someone like that on. And, you know, when you're talking about what he's gone through with mixed martial arts and also when it's got to do with media and the podcast world. So talk to us a bit about, you know, talking to Ken Flo and what that meant to you, brother.
Yeah, it was very interesting to say the least, Jake. I've been watching, we did an episode on this recently. I've been watching mixed martial arts for probably 20 years. Yeah. I've been watching it for a long, 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 long time. And I remember watching Kenny Florian on The Ultimate Fighter. I remember him fighting Diego Sanchez, Sean Sherk. He fought a lot of people in the day. And I remember rooting for him. What it meant, I don't even know if I can explain it. It was a very surreal moment where I've watched you on TV. I've listened to you on your podcast. I can't believe you're in front of me right now. It's like, it's almost a sign of we've made it in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, that was very interesting. But what I really enjoyed was he was, number one, really cool behind the scenes. And number two, it's awesome how you can take somebody from a completely different industry and a completely different path in life, and they still understand and have practiced self-improvement principles. I mean, he was quoting books and talking about his self-improvement journey, and it was just awesome to connect that if you're focused on improving your life is going to be way better than if you weren't, even if you're not a speaker, a coach, a podcaster. Self-improvement, personal development, getting to the next level of your life, that crosses over to every arena. So Kenny Florian was super cool. It's awesome to have somebody on who you know could choke you with one arm to death if you wanted to. And it was good because he's a very humble guy. And I think that when you come across humble people that are heart-driven, it inspires you. Inspires you to be a better person as well after you get to talk to somebody like Kenny, who is very successful but very humble. And clearly has earned everything he has. It was dream come true is the best way to say it. That's the short version. All the other stuff is the long version.
100%. And we'll go to, I think, I'm not too sure if you've had him on your podcast, but I just want to go to his social media. So
please.
We'll look at.
You got quite the setup over there, Jake. I didn't expect that. Eric LeGrand. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, so.
He's a.
Talk to us about Eric and what's going on there, because I had a podcast with him last year, and he, when you're talking about adversity and what, you know, because he's got his own story as a quadriplegic, and on, you know, can, you know, when it's talking about quadriplegia and what you go through and when it's got to do with a disability, especially an acquired one. So how'd it come about talking to Mr. LeGrand? And I know he wouldn't be too far from where you're from, especially if you're on the East Coast. So,
yeah. I don't remember. I think we saw his Instagram profile or something. Oh, you know what? No. So we actually interviewed somebody. Her name's Isabella Picard. She had an accident when she was playing softball, and she lost, for a while, she kind of lost control of the right side of her body.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like still rehabbing and walking and getting back into that. We interviewed her, and she said, hey, you would love my buddy, Eric. And we said, yeah, sure, introduce us. We'd love to talk to him. And we ended up driving down to New Jersey, where he lives. And we met him. We met his mom. We met his giant dog, which is massive. And I was afraid it was going to eat me. And I remember when we got there, Eric was doing his social media. And when I say doing his social media, and Jake, you can probably speak to this better than I, because I don't know the technical terms, but he had something from his chair that he was using his mouth to do his social media. Like, yep. He was doing his social media with his mouth. And I remember it was like, there's no excuse for me not to get my social media done when this man is consistently doing it with his mouth. Like, he could use any excuse in the world for not doing it, and he's still doing it. Now he has multiple coffee shops and multiple businesses, and he wrote a book.
Hey,
it's just so inspiring.
See?
He's killing it.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. And that's the thing. Like, I'm a C5, C6 quad, and he's the next level up from me, you know, where he's on a chin control chair and he's got no use of his arms. So, and it's all about still getting after it. It's finding your ability within your disability, or doesn't matter if you're walking or rolling, it's just finding who you are and perseverance and just, you know, trying to build up who you are and make something of life, you know, if you're breathing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep moving. And, yeah, that's what it's all about. So what is the next level retreat? What is that? Is that a virtual event, or is it in person, or what's the go there? Like, where do you – have you got a, you know, a nice lodge that you camp up in? What's going on?
Yeah, we're renting a mansion in Maine. It's like a mansion on, I don't know, 50 acres in Maine. It's beautiful. It's got – sleeping for 16 people. So we're gonna rent a mansion.
It's not scary up there, is it? Because it is nice because that's what, you know, Stephen King wrote all these scary novels up there.
No. This is the
it looks nice. Righto, nice part of Maine.
It's very nice. So we're going to have people come in for Labor Day weekend. It's going to be 3 days, and it's going to be a very deep dive into different classes. So I'll teach something. Alan's going to teach something. The homeowner, Dr. Taryn, she's one of our clients. She's going to teach stuff, and we're going to bring in other people who are going to teach. And it's going to be a transformational weekend where you come in and you not only learn a ton about things, you learn a ton about yourself, you meet new people, and you leave that weekend with new opportunities, with new perspective, with less limiting beliefs, and a more next level version of yourself. It's a transformational weekend that is supposed to take you out of your normal life, give you a different perspective, and then change the way you perceive normal looking forward. And oh, we're super excited. That's the first one we've ever hosted. So I'm sure we'll be breaking eggs throughout the process, but that is the process of growth and the process of achievement.
Good luck. And I hope all that works out.
I appreciate it.
Super important, and especially, you know, for growth for a lot of individuals that hopefully, you know, camp up in that lodge up there in beautiful Maine in the northeast of America. So, and, you know, they really get that strong message across and they leave with something that's really beneficial. So,
I appreciate it.
I really appreciate you being on here, brother, and just looking at the inside of what you do and how you do it. But also, just before I forget, with the retreat, are you going to live stream it? Are people going to be able to come into it digitally, or just they got to be there in the physical form?
It's going to be behind the scenes in person. That way we can talk about the deepest parts of people's lives. And really, I think that's really where it starts anyways, the root of who you are as a human being. That's where real change is facilitated, through identity first.
Awesome. So is there anything else that you would like to cover, my friend?
This is what I will say. One of my favorite quotes, I think I came up with this. I'm sure somebody else has in humanity, because, you know, humans have been around a long time. Your reality becomes the parts of your imagination you hold on to the longest. Much of my life that I live today was just pieces of my imagination years ago. And now I get to live it every day. And it's because I hung on to those pieces and I kept believing and I kept chasing and I kept imagining and I kept visualizing and emotionalizing. But most of all, I kept believing and working towards it. So understand that your reality, you're going to end up somewhere in 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. It would benefit us all to decide in advance and then do whatever it takes to get there. That's what I would leave us with today, Jake.
Beautiful, my friend. Well said.
Thank you. Thank
so you. If mob out there, people want to get in touch with you, social media, websites, all that gear, the retreat, all that stuff, throw it out in the atmosphere.
I appreciate it. So if you want to reach out to me, I am at Never Quit Kid on Instagram. I get back to all my DMs. And then you can listen to our show after you listen to Jake's show, Next Level University. We're on all the major podcast platforms, as well as YouTube. And then our website is nextleveluniverse.com. And you can find everything from group coaching to one-on-one to speaking to the retreat there. That is where we have all of our stuff up for grabs.
You heard the man, folks. Kev, much appreciated, brother, for coming on. And like I said, I hope that retreat goes all well. And, you know, with what you're doing, just keeps growing and moving forward and helping a lot of people out there. So thank you and much, much appreciated.
Of course. Much love. I appreciate you, my friend. Grateful for the time, grateful for the opportunity, and grateful for you doing what you do.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate. Mr. Kevin Palmieri. Yeah, solid yarn, eh? Good chat, good talk. You know, it's never good seeing someone going through tough times, depression, anxiety, and if they're having suicide ideations. You know, that's a tough line to walk or roll when that's hit someone. And on the other side of the coin, it's good to see when, you know, they can harness that internal struggle, that adversity, and mold it into positivity where it can help themselves and where people can help others, and where he's doing that in the digital space. And it was just really interesting talking about podcast and his take on it. And obviously I love doing it and just what it can do and the power of it, and just whether it's for yourself, just for me, like general knowledge, or where some of those messages can have a ripple effect and help others, or if it's just general knowledge and just things that individuals want to know, you know, it's good stuff. Like I said, high tide raises all canoes, people. That's it. And if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe or follow button. And we've also got a Patreon page. The link is within the description. So if you want to roll with the squad and become a patron, that would be great. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me via Instagram at StreetRollingCheater or email one word, StreetRollingCheater@gmail.com. And we've also got a Facebook page, Keep Rolling with Jake Briggs, so check it out. And want to thank our sponsors, Permobil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here, and they got great assistive tech also. So righto, we'll see you on the next one.